الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العدون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون، الذي بعدا فلا يرى وقربا فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة الباقية على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون. صلوات الله عليك. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and even those who are watching online for celebrating this event, which is an expression of our mawadda and love towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wa salam. After the morning period that we had during the month of Muharram and Safar, in a way, Eid al-Zahra is kind of a conclusion or a closure to that Aza. Although the Aza continues, but it has a different impact during the month of Muharram and Safar. And historically, the 9th of Rabiul Awwal happens to be the day when the commander-in-chief of the Yazidi forces by the name of Amr ibn Sa'd was basically captured and killed by the forces of Mukhtar bin Ubaidullah Saqafi. When we talk about celebrating this event, especially keeping in mind that this is about somebody who was the commander-in-chief and killed on that day, immediately we get this issue that, you know, why are you promoting hatred? One way they say Eid al-Zahra is a kind of a, you know, expression of hatred towards certain individuals. And this is where I would like to talk about an issue, but use the example of the contemporary North American history. You see, we have to realize that when we talk about this concept of hub and bughz, to love someone or to hate or dislike someone, this concept of, you know, hub and bughz, these are part of the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us. You don't need to learn these things. It is very natural. The main thing that from the Islamic point of view is to see whether, you know, your love or your dislike for someone, is it based on the true principles or not? And as I said even last year, that, you know, if you say, oh, I don't like this group because they are of a different color than me, or, you know, they speak a language that I don't understand, or they follow a culture which is different from mine, these will be the wrong basis for disliking a person or a group. But if it is because of the misdeeds of the individual or a group, then it has a different meaning. You know, on the one hand, we are told that when it comes to the Shia faith, and all Shias agree about this issue, that the fundamental concept in Shia Islam is to love the family of the Prophet. And that comes from this ayat from Surah Shura, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet It's not the Prophet asking us to love his family. Allah is ordering the Prophet that you ask your people that they should love my family. And this is where we have to realize, so this aspect is there clearly. So if you have those who have hurt the Ahlul Bayt, you know, you look at the tragedy of Karbala, those who are responsible for it, those who were immediately, you know, involved on the day of Ashura there, you know, if you love the Ahlul Bayt, you can't have any positive feelings towards those who hurt the Ahlul Bayt. And this is something which we have to realize, that, you know, somebody who claims to love the Ahlul Bayt, this issue of loving the Ahlul Bayt, basically the concept of love, this resides in our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it, and I'll come to this ayat at the end. When we talk about hub or bughz, this is actually not just words, actually it is the place where these emotions and feelings reside is our qalb, our heart. And when we look at that, if there is a heart which has the love of Ahlul Bayt, there could be no soft corner in that for the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. Doesn't make sense at all. And this is, we have to realize very clearly that this is part of the human nature. You know, let us look at the example of the contemporary, you know, North American society. Salawat Mulana Ekbar. Ask anyone in Canada or US, whether they are Muslim, non-Muslims, believer, atheist, whatever, do you love justice? What will be the answer? Otherwise, you'll say, you know, go other side of the ocean. You don't belong here. And then you say, well, do you dislike or hate injustice? What would be the answer there? Naturally, if somebody loves justice, he would hate injustice. And this is where we have to realize that if you love a mazloom, you have to dislike the zalim. You can't have both of them together. Look at the history of the United States of America. See what has happened to the Afro-Americans. They have suffered a long time at the hands of their former masters. And even after gaining freedom on a legal basis, still the attitude of those who were their former masters was still the same. Until in 1960s, you have an individual like, Dr. King, who comes forward, and they have to actually go on the streets and demand their right for civic rights of even, voting in the elections. And segregation and everything was being dismantled those days. But didn't come automatically. When they became free, they were equal, citizens of the society. No, they had to fight for it. Almost after a century after the declaration done by Abraham Lincoln. And so when you look at that, you come to realize that, this ideology of white supremacy has still, survived in America. And from time to time, we see this injustice against Afro-American manifesting when we see the brutality against them by the police. And when those high-profile events happen, everybody becomes very active. They have their passion there to move forward in that direction. And what they have done in the last few years, one of the things they do, they cannot go back a century back and hold those people responsible who had done injustice to them. What they do is they go and demand the removal of the monuments of those who were the leaders of the Confederacy. The statues of the army officers and the politicians of the South. Why? Because they represented this, you know, mindset and the ideology of white supremacy. And this their ideology was that slavery should have continued. And so now they are going and, you know, pulling the statues down. Why do you pull those statues down? Isn't the sympathy for the Afro-Americans enough? That, oh, we love them as Muslim. But as far as zalim, where we leave them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Even the secular society does not accept that. Because they say, if you are supporting the Afro-American Muslim for what happened to them, you cannot have this, you know, sentiment of love or continuation of these symbols of zulm of the past. Statue of all those politicians and army officers of the South who represented this zulm against the Afro-Americans have to be, you know, pulled down. And this has happened, you know, from 1960s. But now it is becoming more powerful as a movement. You see, for example, after the murder of George Floyd in 2020, from that time till now, 94 statues have been removed. Before that, we are not even counting that. There's a number, you can go, you know, Google that and you'll find. 94 statues have been removed from 2020 till now, within the 2 years. This is because of the impact of what happened to George Floyd when the police arrested him. Not only that, even the United States Army have reviewed their own naming of the army bases. Just this year, in the month of May 2022, basically the naming commission of the Defense Department came up with the list of 9 U.S. Army bases that they would like to rename them. Why? What is the problem with the name? They said, well, these names represent the politicians or the army officers of the past who were part of this zulm against Afro-Americans. So they are renaming them with other politicians, you know, who would be either neutral or, you know, pro-equality for the Afro-Americans in the United States of America. And this is where we have to realize, it's not that you should only be sympathetic towards the plight of the Afro-Americans. You have to take stand against those and the ideology which, you know, perpetuated the zulm on them. And that is the expression of tawalla and tabarra. Salawat Pradhan Ikbar. According to one of the U.S. Commentators on this issue, when the name of these 9 U.S. Army bases were being changed, he said this was done for what? Because these guys whose names were there before were heroes of the Confederacy, of the South. And they were, the names there, by themselves, belittled African, you know, Americans. And this is where we have to realize that it's not only, you know, okay, it's Muslim, we will support them, Zalim, you know, fi amanillah. And this is where we see that it's not only in the United States of America. Look at the situation in Canada. Right now, what is happening there? Out of this discovery of the unknown graves of the children of the indigenous people, the First Nations. We have sympathy for them. The whole country has a sympathy for them. But what about those who are responsible for it? You can't say, you know, we like these Muslimin, we have sympathy for them, but those who are responsible, well, we leave them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Rahman and Rahim. In 2017, when this whole issue became, to the front, the whole issue of reconciliation between the indigenous people and the Canadian government, the Prime Minister decided to rename the portion of the Parliament building which holds Prime Minister's office. Why? Because that was previously named after Hector Louis Langevin. It was a Langevin wing of the Parliament building. And now the Prime Minister changed the name. It is now known as the Office of the Prime Minister and the Privy Council. Why was this done? Changing the name of somebody who was a politician from the past. Because Langevin was a prominent member of Sir John Macdonald's cabinet, the first Prime Minister of Canada. And he was the one who proposed the creation of the residential school system. He was the architect of that. And he proposed that as a quickest way to assimilate five First Nations children into Euro-Canadian society. And we saw the Zulum which has happened. It is being discovered now. A system which basically continued what is known as cultural genocide. So even the Canadian government, even the president didn't want that name to be there for the wing which has his own office. And they just renamed it to be, the wing for the Prime Minister's office. And this is where we see it's not only the sympathy for the Muslim, you also have to condemn the zalim in the process. And that is the meaning of tawalla on one side and tabarra on the other side. Salawat padhne ke baad. Last year, the Student Union and Indigenous Students Association from Ryerson University forwarded this resolution to the university that the Ryerson name has to be removed. What's the problem with it? Many of us, we don't even know who is Ryerson. Probably even the graduates of Ryerson don't know that. Egerton, Ryerson was, complicit in this whole system of residential schools. And the students didn't like that. We don't want our educational institution to be named after such a person. And so this year, basically in April, the Central Board of the Ryerson University unanimously decided to rename their institution, and it's now known as Toronto Metropolitan University. Why? It's just a name. This is where the issue is, that he was also instrumental in the design of the residential schools for the First Nations children. And this is where I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, Islam is not just, neutral on the issue of Zulm and when it comes to the issue of Zalim and Mazlum. We have to have clear understanding, and that is the meaning of Tawalla and Tabarra in our deen and mazhab. Salawat padhne ke baad. There are people around in the Muslim world who say we love the Ahlul Bayt. But then ask them, what about Yazid? They'll say, radiallahu anhu. What about Hussein? Radiallahu anhu. This is not acceptable. It's not even logical. You have qatil and maqtul, zalim and mazlum, and both of them you're saying, radiallahu anhu. It is not enough to have this sympathy for the suffering of Ahlul Bayt. We need to have that very strong, position in our heart against those who hurt the Ahlul Bayt and who are the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. We cannot accept this idea that, we can still use you know, honorific titles for Muawiyah and Yazid and say رضي الله عنه after their names. You know, Dr. Samavi Tijani has a story. I don't know what's his reference, but it's an interesting one. At least it explained this problem in the wider Muslim world. He says there is a story that somebody was passing by in Syria by the grave of Hujr ibn Adi. Now, you know who is Hujr ibn Adi? One of the close companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he was killed because of his love for Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so there was a person sitting by the grave of Hujr ibn Adi crying. So this person was passing by, he stopped, he said, you know, whose grave is this? Why are you crying on it? He says, well, this is the grave of Hujr ibn Adi radiallahu anhu, who was a close companion of Ali radiallahu anhu, and he was killed by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And that person passing by said, maybe I should be crying on you instead of you crying on that grave. On your aql, you know, what is the matter with you? You are saying Muawiyah killed Hujr. You are saying radiallahu anhu to Hujr as well as Muawiyah. It doesn't go. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, this kind of mentality are not acceptable. Unfortunately, we see. It's not that widespread, but we see elements in the Shia world. You know, whether it's in UK or in Pakistan, unfortunately. Where some people are starting to talk about, you know, well, Muawiyah had a very long, you know, reign of government. There must be some good things in what he did. Banu Abbas, they must have done some good things, and we should praise that. You know, and this is where we have to realize that even if they had done some good things, and they had to do it for their own survival, otherwise these people will do this uprising and they will be destroyed anyway. And so the issue is that, yes, they might have done some good things, but the level of dhulm that they have done, the tyranny, the atrocities, the injustice, not only on the Ahlul Bayt, but on anyone who opposed them, that is so heavy that whatever good deed that they have done has no meaning at all in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot say, and this is an example I gave last year, study the history of Hitler. There must be something that he has done good. But when we talk about Hitler, you will never mention that good deed. Volkswagen. You know, this was his idea to his German, you know, engineers that come up with a car which can be easily bought by the common people, which would not be that expensive. So would you talk about it? No. You will look at the issue of, for example, Holocaust, or whatever he did with other people. You know, his whole idea of looking at other races and inferior. Only Aryan races are there at the top. All others are to be either eliminated or made, you know, servants or slaves of the Aryan race. That you know, zulm basically oversheds everything good that he might have done. And this is where we have to realize that, yes, these monuments of the people which is being pulled down in the United States of America, or the renaming of the institutions here in Canada, it's not that these individuals didn't do anything good in their life. Otherwise, they wouldn't be prominent. It's not only that they only did zulm. They must have been good administrators and many other, you know, qualities they had. But the zulm that they have done supersedes all the good that they have done. And therefore, you don't talk about their good deeds. You have to basically look at them as the force of evil. And this is where the issue of hub and bughz comes in, when we talk about Ahlul Bayt and the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Salawat upon Nabi Allah. Those who look at this issue, you know, in that way, as if they would like to find a soft corner in their hearts for the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, they do not realize that even if they have done something good, there is a concept in Quran known as habd. Hibta. What does that mean? It means that a person does good deeds, but then he does something else. And because of that other evil, which was more overpowering, whatever good deed that he has done becomes null and void. In simple words, it becomes batil. There is no ajr in dunya, no reward in the akhirah either. And this is a very common concept in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually addresses the Prophet himself as one example. Sometimes when Allah wants to show the seriousness of an issue, he would actually address the Prophet directly. Although the Prophet is Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, he is ma'soom, he is infallible, but just to show the seriousness of the issue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of the ayat, he says that if you commit shirk, all your good deeds, I will consider that to be null and void. So if Rasulullah, that's the hypothetical situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing. Last year I talked about the example of Shaitan. How many thousands of years that he worshipped. But he did only one sin. Thousands of years of ibadat. And there is no basis to say that he was, you know, showing off or this and that. No. He was sincere in what he was doing. But then he disobeyed only for one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not recognize the status of the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of his ibadat became null and void. So you can have all these, you know, huge, you know, list in your bag of good deeds, but then sometimes when you do one thing, it acts like acid and it just kills everything. You know, one of my teachers used to give a very good example. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long life. You know, if you, let's look at the example of a kitchen sink, not a tub. That's too large. You know, if you put in this stopper of the sink and then turn on the tap, what will happen? The sink will be filled with water. That water in the sink is your good deeds. But then you do something so powerful, it becomes like pulling that stopper. What happens? The water goes down the drain. Nothing is left. Habt means that. You accumulate all these good deeds. Then you end up doing something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abhors very strongly. And he says, that's it. Even your good deeds that you've done, haba'an mansura, it's gone. That's his decision. And so we had to realize that, you know, yes, there could have been some good deeds, but why do you have this sympathy for them to go and discover some good deeds for Muawiyah or Harun al-Rashid or others? You know, the zulm that they have done supersede everything else. Let me end in English with one ayat of Quran on this issue. And I leave it to your information about history And this is only, I'm presenting you the translation of the ayat only. Surah Hujarat, Surah number 49, is a very, it's relatively a short surah, but has very important moral and ethical teachings for us. Where the first ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O you who believe, do not go ahead of the Prophet, of Allah and the Prophet. It doesn't mean, you know, when you're walking with Rasulullah, just stand behind him. You know, what it means is that once Allah and Rasul have made a decision, you don't go ahead of them. And then ayat number 3, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tarfu aswadakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. O you who believe, do not raise your voice over the voice of the Prophet. This is two dimensions of tafsir. One is immediate, applying to those who are companions of the Prophet, because they were the ones sitting with the Rasulullah, and they are being told, when you talk, don't raise your voice higher than the voice of Rasulullah, out of respect for him. On a different level, this ayat is not fixed and frozen only for those days. This ayat is even relevant to us. If you come to know for sure that this is what Rasulullah had said, and 14 centuries after that you say, well, yes, Rasul had said, but I think. When you say, I think, that is this ayat. لَا تَرْفَوْا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِي. Do not raise your voice over the voice of Rasulullah. And this is not just my, you know, personal tafsir birra'i, no. You know, in the incident of the shahadat of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, when Ahlul Bayt were trying to take the coffin of the Imam to the grave of the Prophet, you know, Aisha was adamant that I'll not allow this. This is my room. And the arguments which went on between her and Imam Hussein alayhi salam was such that at one moment Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, lower your voice. Quran says, لا ترفع أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Rasulullah is no more alive. He is dead there. He is buried in that grave. But the hurmat of Rasulullah and his judgments and his sayings is there even after he passed away. So if me and you are confirmed of something, that this is the, you know, verdict of Rasulullah, and if I say, well, I think otherwise, we are violating this ayat. But if you look at the days of the Prophet, you know, this becomes very relevant for us. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, la tarfa aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Do not raise your voice over the voice of the Prophet. Wala tajharu lahu bil qawl. And do not, you know, talk to him in a manner, kajahri ba'dikum li ba'd, the way you talk to one another. Be respectful. Do you think raising your voice over the voice of Rasulullah, or sometimes, you know, talking to him very formally, is a very big sin? In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is such a major sin that He warns us, أَنْتَحْبَتَ عَامَالُكُمْ حَبْتْ. If you raise your voice over the voice of the Prophet, or if you talk to him the way you talk to one another, أَنْتَحْبَتَ عَامَالُكُمْ, your deeds will become null and void, down the drain. In such a way, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, you will not even realize what happened to your good deeds. It's only on the day of Qiyamah you will say, well, maybe the accountant was wrong here. I have a, you know, register full of my good deeds. You know, he'll be told it went all down the drain because of this one sin. And so, you know, this is where we have to realize that when we talk about the issue of, you know, those who are the enemies of Rasul and are Rasul, we cannot have a soft corner for them. Yes, we have to be discreet and respectful in our own discourses, but on the level of aqidah, you know, if your heart has that hub of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, it cannot have a soft corner for the enemies of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Salawat Quran Ekbarar. Ahle Bayt ki muhabbat aur unke dushmanon se baraat, ye tawalla aur tabarra jo hai hamare deen o mazhab mein hai. Nobody has any disagreement on this issue. Koi nahi kehta hai ki hamare deen o mazhab mein ye nahi hai. Lekin ye jo baat hai tawalla aur tabarra ki, hub aur bughz ki jo baat hoti hai, iski jagah jo hai hamara dil hai. اور انٹرسٹنگ بات ہے کہ خداوند عالم نے اسی سورہ حجرات جس کی آیت ہم نے ابھی انگریزی میں اینڈ کیا تھا, اس میں آیت نمبر 7 بڑی انٹرسٹنگ ہے. اینڈ آئی ایم ناٹ گوئنگ ان ٹو اینی تفسیر, آئی جسٹ پریزنٹنگ دی آیت ٹو یو, جہاں خداوند عالم یہ حکم دیتا ہے کہ دیکھو رسول تمہارے لیڈر ہیں, اگر رسول تمہارے اطاعت کرنا شروع کر دیں تو تم نقصان میں رہو گے. ہی ڈزنٹ ہیو ٹو فالو یو, یو ہیو ٹو فالو ہم. اس کے بعد خداوند عالم نے ایک قاعدہ بتایا ہے کہ خدا تم سے کیا چاہتا ہے. ولکن اللہ حبب الیکم الایمان, دیکھو خداوند عالم نے تمہارے لیے ایمان کو پسندیدہ قرار دیا ہے. ہی وانٹس یو ٹو have this sense of love towards ایمان. اور یہ ایمان کہاں رہتا ہے؟ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, خدا نے ایمان کو تمہارے دلوں کی زینت قرار دی ہے. سمبولک معنوں میں تمہارا دل جو ہے اس میں اگر زینت ہے تو وہ ایمان ہے. ایمان جو ہے وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ, خدا نے ایمان کو تمہارے لیے محبوب قرار دیا ہے. اور اس کے اپوزٹ میں تمہارے دل کے لیے مکروہ کیا ہونا چاہیے؟ وہاں حببہ کہا ہے وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ, اور اللہ نے تمہارے لیے ناپسند قرار دیا ہے. کراہت کے عنصر دیا ہے کس کو؟ نمبر 1 الکفر, نمبر 2 الفسوق, نمبر 3 والعصیان. کفر کی بات ہو رہی ہے, گناہ کی بات ہو رہی ہے, نافرمانی کی بات ہو رہی ہے. اولئک هم الراشدون. اب یہاں پر آپ دیکھیں کہ ایمان کو خداوند عالم نے کہا یہ دل کی زینت ہے. اٹ از اے ڈیکور فار یور ہارٹ, فار یور اسپرٹ. اس کو اگر جاننا ہو تو کیا ہے, واٹ از دی میجر, وہ ٹیسٹ کیا ہے؟ وہ بلڈ ٹیسٹ تو بڑا آسان ہے, تھوڑا نکال لیا, انالائز کر دیا, بتایا اس میں کیا کیا ہے. ہاں, لیکن یہ دل کے لیے جو ہے امتحان کیا ہے؟ رسول اسلام نے ایک ٹیسٹ کا میجر دیا ہے. رسول کے زمانے میں انصار جو ہے دے وے یوزنگ دیٹ ویری ریگولرلی. جابر بن عبداللہ انصاری اور دوسرے خود کہتے ہیں کہ ہم لوگ جو ہیں اسی معیار کو, اسی میزان کو یوز کرتے تھے. وہ کیا ہے؟ رسول اسلام نے علی سے کہا تھا, یا علی لا يحبك الا مؤمن ولا يبغضك الا منافق. ایک ہی معیار دیا ہے رسول نے کہ جس کے دل میں حب علی ہو یہ دلیل ہے کہ اس کے دل میں ایمان ہے. یعنی وہ آیت جو ہے وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنُهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, اگر سمجھنا ہے کہ کسی کے دل میں خداوند عالم نے ایمان کو زینت قرار دیا ہے تو دیکھنا ہوگا کہ اس دل میں جو ہے حب علی ہے یا نہیں ہے. اور اگر بغض علی ہے تو پھر وہ نفاق ہے, وہ ایمان نہیں ہو سکتا ہے. اور اس میں عجیب غریب بات ہے, ہمیں زیادہ اس میں تبصرہ نہیں کرنا ہے. اس آیت میں خداوند عالم نے عین میں کہا ہے اولئک هم الراشدون, رائٹلی گائیڈڈ وہی لوگ ہیں جن کو خدا نے یہ معیار دیا ہے. لیکن اس میں ایمان کو ایک قرار دیا ہے اور اپوزٹ میں جو ہے وہ کفر اور فسوق اور عصیان ہے. یہ نمبرز کا گیم خدا بھی کھیلتا رہتا ہے کبھی, وہ ہمارے اوپر نہیں ہے, آپ اپنے امیجنیشن سے کام لے سکتے ہیں. لیکن یہ جو کبھی کبھی خداوند عالم اشارہ دیتا ہے اور اسپیشلی اینڈنگ ود دی ورڈز اولئک ہم الراشدون, صحیح معنوں میں راشدین وہی ہیں کہ جن کے دل میں حب علی ہو. صلوات پڑھنے کے بعد کبھی بھی یہ جو منحرف باتیں ہوتی رہتی ہیں کبھی کبھی, اس سے آپ اپنے ایمان کو کمزور نہ کریں. یہ نہ اللوجیکل باتیں ہیں جو ہم نے آپ کے سامنے پیش کی, اس لیے ہم اس زمانے کی مثال دے رہے تھے آپ کو, امریکہ اور کینیڈا کی, وہ انڈیا اور پاکستان کی بھی نہیں ہے, مڈل ایسٹ کی بھی نہیں ہے, کہ اس سوسائٹی میں بھی جہاں ظلم ہوتا ہے تو آپ مظلوم کا ساتھ دیتے ہیں اور ظالم سے بیزاری کا اعلان کرتے ہیں. ان کا انداز کچھ اور ہے, ہمارا انداز کچھ اور ہے. لہٰذا یہ حب اور بغض کا سلسلہ جو ہے یہ انسان کے فطرت میں خداوند عالم نے قرار دیا ہے. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے بس یہی دعا ہے, خداوند اس عبادت کو قبول فرما, ہم لوگوں میں یہ حب محمد آل محمد کے جذبے کو مکمل طور پہ مملو فرما, اور ظالمین اہل بیت سے بیزاری کا جذبہ پیدا کر. خداوندہ ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما, عالم اسلام میں صلح اور امن کی فضا پیدا کر, شیعان علی کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ, تکفیری افواج کے تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم. صلوات پڑھنے کے بعد